Hey, welcome to this week's episode of Nevada Backcountry. Dave Catalano is back finally from the East Coast to survive the ice storm of 2026.
Holy moly.
While you were away, Dave, Sheep Show was incredible. Thank you to everyone who came up to the booth, said, hey, I got to talk hunting, tell some hunting stories. Thanks to Michael. Unfortunately, Michael, if you were listening right now, he mentioned to me, he said, hey, sometimes you guys talk about archery. I'm just not a bow hunter or an archer, and I kind of tune out. We're going to talk a little bit of archery, Michael. So
yeah, just a little bit.
Fire up the lawnmower for about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, go mow that brown grass.
Yeah, do something, because we are going to talk archery. And then last little bit of housekeeping, the Howl for Wildlife, which I've talked about on the show before. Great organization. Their documentary, Killing Catalina, just came out. I encourage everybody to watch that. I use it as a cautionary tale of letting politicians dictate management practices.
Oh, God.
It's the Catalina Island mule deer fiasco.
Yeah.
If you want to see how ham-handed the government can be when it comes to just a sweeping blanket management policy, this is a documentary to check out. Last but not least, thank you to our show sponsors, Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Truck Envy, and Battle Born Tree Service. Sincere thanks for sponsoring the show. Now, without further ado, Dave, it's good to see you, man. It's good to have you back.
Good seeing you too, man. It's been it feels like it's been like a month or so, but it's only been like
weeks.
A week or 10 days since I haven't seen you. Going through, you know, little Henry withdrawals.
Yeah. I feel the same, Dave.
Yeah.
Your wife texted me.
You didn't. She texted me saying good luck and everything and nothing from Henry.
Yeah.
But, you know, she just threw you under the bus. But that's cool, man.
I told you, I had a little bit of FOMO, as the kids say.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, man, Dave's shooting Lancaster. I kind of wish I was there. But then when I started getting texts from you about, hey, I made finals, but I can't shoot finals. I got to get back to town because of the weather. I went, yeah, that was probably a good one for me to miss.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yes.
The shoot was fantastic. Lancaster's, the venue was phenomenal. This sporting complex, man, is twice the size of the Reno Convention Center, and it is
nothing but archery stuff, right?
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then they've got one of their shooting centers that Timmy said, you've got to come and shoot this before, you know, we get out of here. You're shooting at the line. And there's a TV in front of you with your target, so you can, like, see where you're shooting.
Oh, so no binos or
no
anything?
Just
shoot,
it's
look
just,
up.
You shoot, look up, kind of like bowling, but you see your target with the camera. Phenomenal. And, like, come on, Reno, get on it here. This is Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which a third of our population, and they have more archery shooting centers than,
well,
I mean, give me a break.
You know what I'm going to say?
What?
Well, Lancaster Archery Supply. Well, I mean, you have the biggest, what are they, distributor or whatever of archery
equipment.
They're
like the Amazon for archery.
Bingo.
They've got it's awesome. But the shoot was nuts. Flights were canceled, rebooked, canceled again, rebooked. It was just nonstop. And at one time, like I was telling you earlier, it's like, hey, either we can give you a refund for your flight, which I'm like, no, I'd like to get home.
Right.
Or you don't get to fly out till Wednesday. And I was like, oh, this is
I'm not sitting in Philly staring at sheets of ice for the next 72 hours
right.
or whatever.
But luckily, they got a hold of me. They said there was a seat on a flight leaving at 2:05 on Saturday. Just happened to coincide with that was my shoot time for the final shoot downs.
You had a life decision to make.
And I made it. I'm like,
get home,
get me out of here.
Or shoot my bow.
Yeah, get me out of here. So other than that, it was great. You know, leaving Reno at 60 degrees and going there where our daytime highs were like 12.
Ooh.
Nighttime, -3.
That wet cold too.
It was, it was wild. But you know what? I'd recommend at least doing the shoot.
Yeah,
It was a blast. It was a great shoot. And on normal years, it runs through because they canceled all shooting on Sunday because of this storm.
Okay.
And they just crammed everything into Saturday. So you were just throwing a lot of arrows.
The whole, not appeal, because I know the scoring's slightly different with the X counting as an 11.
Yeah.
So the scoring's slightly different, but the whole kind of cool niche thing that they do is that 12 spot.
Yes.
You, You never got to shoot that.
I did not.
Because you did not.
And you only shoot that when you're in the shoot-offs. In
right,
the finals.
The final. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only time you get to pick that 12.
So you didn't get to stand on click the foot thing and call a 12.
No. Hit the button. You know, the whole nine. No.
You did not get to do that.
I did not.
Let me back up for a second, Dave. You've ordered stuff from Lancaster before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Everybody that's shot a bow at one point or another has ordered from Lancaster. I always am shocked by the shipping prices, which is why I invariably wind up going to Hunting House because they can get it and I'm not paying $20 for shipping on a $9.99 item.
Yeah.
If Lancaster were to set up a West Coast distribution warehouse. So if Lancaster is listening, you know, maybe think about that. And then maybe we could have like a Lancaster Classic Light.
Yeah, give me a call. We'll figure it out.
Give Dave a call.
Give me a call.
Yeah,
it would be cool. That was one thing when I was there. I had my little piggy bank of cash.
Yeah.
Timmy, myself, and Bernie went up to their retail store, which is pretty cool. And spent our money.
Yeah.
I
bet it went pretty quick.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
There were a few times it's like, man, maybe I should go look over at this thing too. Oh, wait, let me go check this out.
Yep.
Oh, wait, let me go look at this. And.
And next thing you know, you've burned through it.
It was done.
How big is the actual retail store?
Oh, it's not big at all. It was probably maybe three times the size of Hunting House.
Yeah, see, I always think
that's the retail center, yeah.
I always think their big thing is the warehouse.
Yeah.
They were early adopters of the online thing.
Yeah.
And they were kind of the original, like, hey, you need this whatever little scope lens or this, that, or the other thing. You can order it from them online. So I always think, I've seen pictures of the actual retail facility.
Yeah.
And at some point I remember looking at a picture and going, man, it doesn't look that, it's got to be bigger than it looks in pictures, but probably maybe not.
No, it's not. It's not real big at all. They got a lot of stuff in there. And the cool thing is if it's not in their retail center,
right?
You can't find it there. You just go up to the counter and say, hey man, I'm looking for widget 3 for my XYZ bow and this and that. And they'll get up on the computer and they're like, all right, yeah, we'll have it here in 15 minutes.
From the warehouse.
It runs over from the warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it'll be here in 15, 20 minutes. Okay, cool. Like they delivered stuff to me at the shoot.
Because
they didn't have it. They're like, hey, are you shooting at Spooky Nook? I'm like, yeah, I'm competing. He's like, all right, cool. We'll just bring it over there.
Okay.
And pick it up over at the.
Oh,
the
that's thing. Cool.
I'm like, cool.
That's very cool.
So yeah, it was really slick.
You were happy with your shooting.
I shot very well. I had a great time. Got to shoot next to a Slovenian and a German and a couple other folks, which was tough to communicate with them, but the Slovenian was easy on the eye, so I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
And I shot.
He was a handsome dude.
Oh, dude, yeah. He had a fantastic beard on him. Such nice back hair. But yeah, I shot really well, felt real confident, and I'm just keep that road up.
Good.
You know, next is Foley, Alabama.
What are you shooting for a bow again?
I'm shooting the new Darton Tri-Tech.
You went back to
35.
Darton. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, I was looking at the PSEs and I just got myself the Darton. It shoots fantastic. It is a solid bow, but man, the thing is that arc is a nice bow that I love that the Prime, the RVX that you're shooting. Man, it's just a matter. I just got to find the one that fits well for you. And we'll see what I shoot next year.
Stick with it long enough to figure out its idiosyncrasies. And I stuck a ton of weight on my stabilizers.
Fronts or backs?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Both. I've got 12 ounces out front and I've got 20 some odd ounces off the back.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, but it doesn't move.
No,
it's great.
As long as you can hold it up there for the term of the shoot, like, you know, you get into feet of stuff and it's 120 arrows.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to shoot my hunting bow for 3D and outdoor this year.
Oh, okay.
But for just straight 20-yard indoor archery stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I threw a crap load of weight on there and I was like, man, this thing doesn't move. This is great.
Oh, yeah. As long as you got that dialed in, man, it just sits.
Yeah.
It sits because I don't have quite that much weight, but I got a pretty good amount. It's just magic.
Hey, there you go. There is the Lancaster Classic Roundup. Coming up next segment, we're going to get into the commission meeting notes. Dave's got page after page of highlighted notes from the commission meeting stuff. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. are back on this Sunday on Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. If you miss a segment of the show, you can always go to 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab, and everything is there. And also, one more thing I forgot during housekeeping, Dave. New hats. They're in the back of my car. I got a pile of new hats coming out. I got to get them over to get them embroidered. However, we will be giving those away on the show and on social media. So stay tuned for that information. The commission meeting. You said there were some tempers?
Well, there was a lot of discussion because this particular commission went through hunt dates.
Okay.
Potential changes for hunt units, discussion. There was a lot of...
Changes to hunt units.
Hunt units. There were areas being closed, other hunts being opened, modifying dates for muzzleloader and for other hunts, reestablishing old hunts, a lot of movement in the elk world.
Are we getting a bugle hunt?
Well, we're going to go through some of that.
Okay. We're gonna,
there was a lot.
And sorry, then, you know where my mind immediately went to that.
There was a lot of discussion in relation to the disability permits.
Yeah.
Visual and physical disability permits, because there's a lot of changes going on. Basically, they're, in my opinion, how I've been reading it and tracking it and assisting with a lot of the language, especially with all the archery stuff. It's basically, they're all new. They've just
started from scratch.
Just ran the red pencil through everything that was there previously and been rewriting everything.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing in this case?
In my opinion, it's a good thing.
Okay.
And we'll get into that as well. But there's a lot of stuff on this particular commission, a lot of things that are going to be moved forward into the March, April, May commissions, I think, in June.
Okay.
Which is a good thing, but they went through everything from the bear hunts to the moose hunts to antelope to the junior tags. They covered a lot of stuff this time, and it was pretty darn informative. Now, if anyone wants to go through that, it's all online under endow.org. Go into commission, and then you go all the way down to the bottom of that, and there's the video.
Fast
forward to the sections you want.
Okay.
As well as there are links to all of the supporting material for that particular agenda item or topic. So if you want to get a little more information on that beyond what I maybe talk, because I can't cover everything,
because
we'd be here for quite a while. But
well, give me some highlights or give me some hot button stuff.
So some hot button stuff we'll get into. The first one here will be, let's just dive into the disability.
Yes.
The permit, the disability permits. So basically what they're doing with the disability permits is getting a lot more detailed in regards to actually acquiring this permit.
Okay.
You can't go to your chiropractor and get a visual, visual permit.
Right.
You know, because a lot of the language in the old stuff was basically just, hey, a medical professional needs to sign off on this form and such. And so there was, obviously, you know, when you have that broad and something that has that many holes in it, you're going to get people.
Yeah.
Taking advantage
of
the situation.
My holistic healer says
shaman said
right.
So things like that. So they got a lot more detailed. So when you get into it, there's certain physicians and PAs and others that are allowed to sign off on your stuff. Their specialty has to be in with what's broke with you.
You know,
like I said, it can't be your chiropractor.
Right.
Or your dentist or something like that that's signing off on these things.
Your dentist.
You'd be amazed.
I bet I would be.
You'd be amazed.
I bet I would be.
So, and then a lot of this stuff is going to be now, once you acquire it, and some of this stuff, it's not just like, oh yeah, I can't do it this year. A lot of these have to be permanent ailments. Or something that's not going to have a long-term...
Like I lost a limb. Okay, yeah.
Exactly.
For the rest of my life, I'm going to have to hunt this
way. One thing is if you lost your pinky, it's not a disability. You got to lose four fingers or more. Which,
right. Okay.
Okay, that makes sense. But it's going to be for 5 years. So it's not going to be... You're not going to have to renew it every year and go through the whole rigmarole, red tape stuff, and incurring all those costs of doctor visits and things like that. Once you acquire it, once it's been approved and everything's, you know, I's are dotted, T's are crossed, it's a 5-year permit instead of the 1 year. So that's going to be one thing that's going to be changing.
What about like an instance where it's like, okay, I'm injured, I had like a shoulder surgery or something. Is that just going to be like, hey, you can't hunt this year, or you're going to have to hunt, you're not going to get a special accommodation? Or,
well, so it depends if that individual wants to do archery, or just, you know, can't shoot a gun, can't do anything, pull a bow back or anything like that, then they may have to skip the year. That's all. If it's a one-year injury, then you may have to just sit it out this year.
Yeah.
If not, and you do have some of the capabilities with the archery stuff, eliminating crossbows entirely,
right,
is going to go to a draw lock system. Okay. Where you have this system that actually draws the bow for you, and it sits in a locked position until the archer's ready to release it, you know, and it has abilities for stability.
Right.
But it's still a bow. So you can't shoot it at 200 yards, at 600 feet per second, right, and all of this stuff.
I would agree with that. I hate to take the stance of like, well, if you can't hunt, that sucks. There's no, but I mean, at the end of the day, you have to have some physical capabilities to be able to hunt.
Yes.
And if you bend the rules or break the rules or modify the rules to a certain extent, it no longer becomes the original intent of the, I'll call it a sport.
Right.
But yeah, if you had shoulder surgery, whatever, you got to sit out a season, like that's life, man.
Yeah.
That's life.
Yeah. When I had my calf injury, I wasn't able to hunt that, you know, for a good chunk of that first part of the season.
Right.
Because I wasn't hiking hills. There's no freaking way. Yeah. So there's decisions, you know, you have to make decisions. That's it. You have to make decisions. So they redefined what disability means.
Okay.
So that was the one thing we were talking about, where disability was like, yeah, if you can't do something, then fill this form out. That was like a one sentence definition. Yeah. They went much further in detail about what a disability truly is.
Okay.
And the department did a survey with all individuals that have had these permits in the past, as well as general public. And a lot of people weren't happy with that definition being so detailed, not as many loopholes. So it was like 32% said, yeah, okay, I guess we're okay with it. 39% were like, I don't know if I like this.
What did they push back on, like the HIPAA law stuff? Or?
Well, definitely, because an attorney on there, Martinez, was on there in relation to the HIPAA stuff.
Yeah.
Like asking people for this, that, and 10 other things. I guess it's not legal, but there's still, in order to receive this permit, there's certain guidelines. So your physician would acquire this particular disability definition in the permitting process. And it's up to them. It's their obligation to read through that and say, okay, Joey, you dislocating your pinky toe does not fit this.
Right.
So you can't get a disability to use this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say something that sounds kind of cruel real quick, Dave, but I always look at that as like a eat your cake and have it too situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, look, if you want to hunt and you want special accommodations to do so, you got to cough up the goods.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like if you want to play the whole HIPAA violation thing, well, I can't disclose this. Hey, man, there's another pastime for you somewhere.
Yeah.
Or just put in as a regular Joe if you don't want to disclose it. Otherwise, if there's accommodations made, eat your cake and have it too.
Right. If you want to shoot the primitive weapons, archery and possibly muzzleloader stuff, like visual, they do have red dot sights and things like that for individuals with disabilities for visual. If you can't do that, then you still have any legal weapon option.
Bingo.
And you can shoot crossbow and any legal weapon.
Bingo.
You know, removing it from archery doesn't mean people are, you know, oh my God, I can't use my crossbow anymore. This is BS, blah, blah, blah. No, you surely can. You can shoot it in any legal weapon.
Can't do it during archery season, buddy.
Because all the literature out there right now is showing these crossbows are so beyond the capabilities of a standard archery equipment.
Absolutely agree.
100%. Yep. 100%. Anyway, so that was one thing that got a lot of attention and conversation on that particular topic. And then the other one, I know we're coming pretty close.
Well, we are coming up against a break here. Rip through it real quick.
So there's going to be some changes with, I'm going to get into the youth.
Oh, youth stuff.
The youth stuff. So one of the recommendations is if you were putting in for youth tags, you only get one.
Oh.
So how the draw goes for youth is they draw deer first,
right?
Then antelope, horn shorter.
Yep.
So if you draw a deer tag,
you're out.
You're out for the antelope. You can't receive multiple youth tags.
100% agree on that too.
Yeah, because last year, I don't remember the percentage, but there's a pretty good percentage of youth that received both tags. And then there was another fair percentage that received none.
I know multiple people that received, multiple tags.
So they, you know, the reason for this program is to get youth out into the field, give them that opportunity, give them that life experience, let them have a good time with their family and friends, get out there and experience the hunt.
Get a hunt, yeah, not multiple hunts.
Get a hunt.
Yeah.
So, and then you can circumvent that if you put your child in for the regular hunts. So they can still get deer hunt, and then they can get an antelope longer than ears or shorter than ears in the standard draw, or bull elk or sheep or whatever. But if your kid ends up with a sheep tag, then that's going to be another issue.
Yeah. All right, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. More commission meeting notes coming up on Nevada Backcountry. Keep that radio tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We left off with the youth season change or youth hunt changes.
Yeah, the proposals.
I wanted to ask you, but we were up against the clock there. Is that going to take effect? Was that voted on, or is that something they're pitching for like future commission stuff?
No, this is for 26-27 big
this
game hunting season.
Oh, okay.
That's for this. All of this stuff we're going to talk about, it's all for this season.
Gotcha.
So, and some of this stuff is up for, they can vote on it, or they can say, okay, this is nice, want more information. And then, then it'll be brought back to the commission to be clarified or to provide the commission with the data that they're requesting.
Okay.
But some of this can be voted on and be like, sounds great, let's do it.
So the youth thing could take effect for this season.
Yeah, so this is all proposals for the 26-27 season.
Gotcha.
So all of that youth stuff we just talked about was for this coming season.
Okay.
So, and that one is going through.
It is, okay, good.
Yeah, so one tag per kid. That's it.
Unless they want to apply for the regular
the regular seasons with the non-youth tags.
And that makes total sense to me.
Well, you know, the beauty is it gives more kids a chance, like we were saying, to get out in the field. So some other stuff that's going on there are antelope. So I'm going to start out with antelope here.
Okay.
So there's potential splitting season structures for hunt units 141, 43, 151 through 56, any legal weapon hunt to occur August 15th through the 26th early and 27th to September 7th for late. These are both resident and non-resident hunts, and the proposal is to alleviate like the crowding. Is to break it up to alleviate the crowding.
Those antelope, I've spent a good bit of time in Unit 15 out there.
Yeah.
And those antelope tend to be in the same spot.
Yeah. That was the consensus from hunters and people in the field.
That
you may have all these tags, but everyone's in the same canyon.
Yeah.
So that was trying to split that up, create a early and a late season.
Okay.
The other one was muzzleloader in the same units, going from August 15th to the 21st to September 24th to October 4th.
Okay.
To, again, accommodate the proposed changes for
any legal weapon.
Hunt.
Yeah.
So these are, again, these are proposals.
Man, this is the first time we've done a commission thing, and I'm 100% on all of these so far.
Yeah.
I got no pushback.
So
that sounds great.
Yep.
Okay.
So the next one was what we already talked about, was the junior hunt proposal for all of that. This is the antelope shorter than ears. They're going to increase the unit groups for the youth for the running from September 8th to the 24th.
Okay.
So they've got, let's see here, they have seven more units or seven more options. So 6-5, 6-6, 7-6, 8-1, 8-9-1, quite a few. You can get on and look at the date, the information, and see the increases. So here's some big ones. The desert bighorn sheep, to modify the hunt description and season for unit 173 North A.
Okay.
Any ram, any legal weapon to reflect all of unit 173, not just a portion of 173, open the whole unit up, and then the date change would be from September 1st to January 1st.
Why was that split up?
I'm not really sure.
17 is the still waters, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, because they did it with 181, they broke 181 up, and it could be a similar thing as 181, because everyone was hunting in one location.
God,
so they broke it up, so we got to spread these hunters out. 173 may be the there's only a few hunters, so open the whole joint up.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, and then closing the non-resident any ram hunt for unit 213. That's the area I hunted for my archery.
Oh, and they're closing the non-resident.
Closing the non-resident any ram, as well as closing the resident archery hunt in 213. And this is due to the disease outbreaks and the concerns there.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I saw when I was out there hunting.
That's right. You said, yeah.
We had several target rams.
Mm-hmm.
And as we got closer to the season, we were starting to see less and less and less and less sheep. And we're like, man, what in the world is going on? And then eventually.
Pneumonia die off. Yeah.
It was, yeah, we had, there was a big die off during my hunt, during the time period in my hunt. And, luckily, we still found a good ram and harvested him, but I didn't get to shoot forehead or chip.
They were gone.
So their heads are up there somewhere.
Yeah, I bet somebody's got them.
Yeah, it could be, yeah, because both of those rams and the group they were in,
yeah.
I mean, they were just, when you were sitting there watching them and glassing them and stuff, and they were just snotting up, just
right.
Boogers. I mean, they weren't in good shape.
So. Hey, let me back up real quick because I'm sitting here thinking about this. 17 is the Toyabes, 18 is the Stillwaters. I screwed up on that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I didn't catch it.
That's all right.
Losers.
We fixed it now.
We fixed it, suckers. So then another one is to establish a management ram hunt for Unit 164 to help depopulate that herd and reduce the potential for disease risks that are potentially going on there.
So when you say that, increase in tag number?
Yeah, so it'll be a management ram hunt.
Oh, very cool.
So kind of like a depredation but management ram hunt, and there will be a early and a late hunt to help get those numbers down to help them recover from some of the sicknesses that they're dealing with. So
still, man, sheep stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, and then they're going to close the management ram hunt for 173 North A.
Okay.
Because there was a management hunt in there. California Bighorn, everyone's going to like some of this because might give some of us better opportunity of actually having a tag, is to reestablish the any ram season for units 011 through 013 from September 1st to November 10th.
Okay.
And then establish an early and late hunt for unit 068.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that is to reduce the hunting congestion.
Yeah.
So they're going to split that one up.
Having hunted 068 for sheep, there are two distinct seasonal patterns in there. For those sheep, and if you take your hunt pretty deep, like you start going into the later end of it, everybody is stacked up on one area.
Yeah, one specific range.
Yep. So that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's not too shabby. Got to get into, let's see here, there's some more. This is Rocky Mountain. This is some Rockies.
Yeah, something I will never draw, but lay it
never
on
Never know,
me.
Never know.
What are there, like four tags?
If that, I think. Yeah. Three or four. Reestablish the season for Hunt Unit 091.
Oh!
So that would be, and it would be an interstate. It would be an interstate hunt with Utah, and the proposed dates for that would be September 1st to November 30th.
That'd be way cool.
Yeah,
and for those that don't know, 091 is that basically the northeastern corner.
Yeah, the extreme corner.
Yeah, of Nevada. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it would be a dual state agreement.
Very cool.
Yeah, that'd be a cool one.
I didn't even know there were Rockies up there.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. Let's do it, right? So now we're going to get into some cool stuff with elk, is to eliminate the antler depredation hunt in 251, because since 2002, only two bulls have been harvested out of there out of 25 tags a year, two animals. So they're like, yeah, we're good. Let's get rid of that one. Then talking about introducing an early season spike hunt, which would be cool because I got a lot of spike points, baby, for unit 161, 164, the monitors.
Yeah.
And that would be October 1st through October 20th.
And that'd be a brand new hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way
so
cool.
This, and it's, they're doing this to distribute hunters from the existing late season hunt. Again, split them up a bit. Then add two more seasons. December 1st through December 31st, and then in the second season, January 1st through January 31st, for an antlerless depredation hunt in 114B and 115B.
Okay.
Again, to alleviate elk damage for agricultural over there.
Right.
The crops, and because they're putting a hurting on some of those ag fields. They're putting a hurting on them. So creating two new seasons for antlerless.
And you know what I like about that, Dave? instead of just giving the property owner landowner tags,
yeah,
they're opening it up to the public. That's awesome.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah, you just obviously you can't just go walking on someone's private land. And
if you're thinking that,
don't do it.
Don't
do it.
But I mean, you know, there's that thing where
catching
normally
them before they get out, before they get in or as they're coming out, and it's more opportunity. I mean, getting more folks out there, you know, gives me a better chance of actually putting hands on a cow elk would be super awesome.
Heck yeah!
So. And then another one here is to modify season dates for residents and non-resident elk antlerless hunts on the early hunts for any legal weapon and the muzzleloader hunts to extend hunting periods. So the muzzleloader would be two additional dates, would be September 17th and the 26th, and then reducing the any legal weapon by 2 days from September 27th to October 4th. So there's a lot of stuff moving.
Yeah,
in elk, to
there's
elk.
A ton. Yeah. Now, the only thing that I'm a little disappointed in is that I only heard one spike modification.
To create another spike hunt.
Yeah, and that's the only one.
That's
and
it.
Dave, I'll put you on the spot. Of the areas I have spent time in the state, there's too many spikes everywhere.
Oh, I agree.
Everywhere.
I mean, last year alone, like on your cow hunts and then my bull hunt, I saw a lot of spikes. I saw a lot. And then previous couple years back, we were in 7-1.
Yep.
071. And there was a whole bachelor group. We were sitting there glassing at them. They were 180 yards away.
Yep.
And there were seven or eight, all spikes, just hanging out together.
Absolutely.
And I mean, then we'd go to the next canyon and then there's more there. There's three over here. There's a lot. There's a lot of spikes. But the thing is, there's a lot of extreme. Like I call them extreme raghorns because they're like a three by two.
Yeah, trash bowls.
Just trash bowls that there's no season for those.
Nope.
You can't hunt them during spike season because they don't qualify as a spike. And anyone with a bull tag isn't going to whack a 2x3 unless it's like, hey, last day, he's next to the road.
I'll take him now.
You might as well take him now. You're not hunting for that. Mm-mm. So that's another hunt I feel could be extended into like the spike hunt.
Absolutely.
Type of a spike hunt slash trash antler hunt, whatever
you want to call
it.
That sounds like kind of degrading.
Yeah,
but
it does. But you know what I mean? Just like, you know, okay, let's get these guys out of there.
You got like a double fork on one side and some scraggly nonsense on the other.
Yeah.
It's never going to turn into a 380 bull.
No. Like last year, totally illegal spike, you know, two gorgeous spikes on him, but he had fronts.
Right.
I mean, he had friggin' 10-inch fronts.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, he's out.
Man, I have not been to a unit in Nevada, and I'm talking Bull Runs, Independence, even, the Jarbidge down there, the Ely units, White Pines, everywhere. We got more spikes.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. No. Sidebar. I'm 100%
I want to hear more spike hunts coming up.
Yeah. I would like to see more spike hunts as well. But Dave, we're almost out of time. But the last two things, moose and mule deer, no changes are being recommended.
Oh, all right. I got something to say about that, but it's going to have to wait until after the break. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry. Thank you to our listeners taking time out of your day, whether that's later at night streaming the show via podcast or listening live. Sincere thanks to you guys and gals that take time out of your day to tune in and listen. We're going to try to rip through the last of the commission stuff here real quick. I wanted to say one thing. The mule deer, I thought it was starting to get some steam increasing the weight on mule deer. The wait time.
Oh, yeah. So
WAIT, not WEIGHT.
Create a wait time for mule deer now.
Yes,
and eliminate the wait time for antelope or something. So there are proposals.
Cut down the elk.
Yeah. So there are proposals that just haven't been brought forward yet in relation to wait times or wait periods.
Right.
And some of that does have to do with elk. Decreasing the overall elk to 5 years instead of seven.
Five and five makes sense to me.
Creating a wait period for muleys since they're not doing so great.
3 and 3 makes sense to me.
and then doing decreasing the antelope down to 3 and 3 or something like that.
Okay.
So, and then moose and bighorn sheep could be possibly lifetime.
Yeah.
One and done type of deal. But those proposals haven't come through. I think there's still a lot of refinement that needs to be done with those proposals to actually have some teeth. But we'll see. I do agree with you. We really do need to do something in relation to that because muleys across the country are just hurting.
So anyway, that was my two cents on the muley thing.
And one thing, when we were talking about those two, 114, 150, the combination, was it? Combining the two for
the antelope? Elk.
Antelope,
yeah. Yeah, yep.
That wasn't agreed upon.
Oh, it was declined.
Yeah, so that may have to come to another meeting. But okay. The other thing was a lot of the other stuff that was discussed during the commission had no change. The turkey seasons and quotas not quite yet. We're still going to be getting into that. But
okay.
Turkeys, no changes. No changes to the Silver State tags. There's no changes to mountain lion hunting. There's no recommendation or changes to the bear season or quotas because we haven't even hit the limit for harvest on bears in several years. For sure, at least the last 2 years and stuff. So everything else pretty much stayed status quo. There was some discussion on restrictions for non-resident guided mule deer seasons and hunts. And
how so? Do you mean restrictions?
Well, they're just creating some stricter guidelines.
Okay.
So I think that one's going to come back with some more information.
Gotcha. So, okay.
And then other than that, everything else was pretty much no change. But that was it.
That's the commission.
That's the commission in a nutshell.
A couple things I want to bring up, Dave.
All right.
First and foremost, what the hell is up with the chucker end date? It's today.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is today.
It's today.
What are we doing in here?
Well, yeah, exactly. Here's why I wanted to bring that up, because I've always gotten it in my head, and I guess first Sunday in February.
Happens to fall on the 1st
on
of
the
February.
1st of February. I always think in my mind, okay, I got like a week or 4 or 5 days in February.
Yeah.
You know, because I always think January 31st, waterfowl close.
Yeah.
Right? End of waterfowl season. And then I'm like, well, there's like a week
A few more days.
Yeah, to chase chucker and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it just so happens, looking at the calendar, and shout out to my buddy Steve, who pointed this out to me. He goes, no, dude, it's February 1st.
February 1st.
Sunday.
Done.
I'm like,
no.
Yeah. That can't be right. It's like got to be February 6th or 7th,
something like that. No. Yeah.
Just unlucky calendar year.
Yeah, just one of those things. Happens every, whatever it is, 10 years, or 7 years, or whatever. But yeah, that kind of blows now that you think about it.
Yeah. I remember one year, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 seasons ago. Shoot, maybe longer than that, maybe 6 or 7, where I went out in the morning, got some birds, came home, and then watched the Super Bowl.
Oh,
so I was like, oh, okay. I always associated the two, the Super Bowl and the end.
Around the Super Bowl.
Well, no, not the case this year.
No.
So that kind of sucks.
You know why they did that?
Why?
So that you could prep to sit down and watch the Seahawks take care of some business. They're like, hey, we need to shut this season down early because there's some serious prep happening.
For those that don't know, Dave was doing backflips the other weekend with a giant Seahawks fan. You've sent me pictures of you head to toe in Seahawks garb.
Yeah, the wife, on Sundays when I get to watch the Hawks, she's just...
Well, so there you go, Dave. The universe threw you a bone this year.
Right? Conflict with Super Bowl this year. So
yep. And last but not least,
and the seat. Well, real quick.
Oh no! Go
on the chucker.
Yeah.
What a tough season this was this year.
Yeah, I was trying to put a positive spin on it.
It was. It's been so warm this year. Just not a lot of nothing to really group those birds up nice and tight.
Nope.
I mean, you worked for it this year.
110%.
You worked for it. It's probably why I went to Fish Pyramid more often.
Than Chase.
Yeah.
I had a new dog, so it was I put in my hours this season.
You
for
did.
Sure.
Pretty much every weekend you were gone.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I was, it was a grind, but I will say, here's my two cents on the whole thing. I don't think the bird numbers were down at all. Everywhere we went, we got into birds. However, there were some zeros on the board this year for those days when it's like, you know, you can't get mad at the dogs. You can't get mad at yourself. You're coming up a ridgeline and 400 or 500 yards down in some bowl, chucker get up and take off. And it's like, dude, that's not spook. That's just, I don't know. They could see us up on the ridge or something from 400, 500 yards. There were a lot of those instances this year where it was like, okay, it's not the dogs bumping birds. It's just birds flushing way the hell out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was work. I will say it was get to the highest point possible and then you start getting into birds.
Yeah.
You may scratch out one or two. I'm thinking about a couple weekends ago, my brother and I went out with Aaron. We got birds, but it was like, man, you got to get way up top to get them.
It was like finding Waldo Chucker style.
Yeah.
It was tough.
I stuck to my guns, Dave. I rode out the season with the 28.
With the 28, you did the whole season with the 28. Oh, man.
I stuck it out. Yeah. I was like, this is what I'm doing. I don't care.
Dude, that's
so I did
that's
it.
That's awesome.
And I didn't, I got to check. I didn't. Towards the latter end of the season, and I was doing those, man, we would go out and camp for a whole weekend and shoot and stuff. I wasn't great about using my clicker to count birds, but I'd say I had for as tough as the conditions were this season, I think I'm just sticking with the 28. I think I got enough birds. I was like, it didn't really handicap me, I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in some instances.
Maybe, but you didn't notice it. So that's a good thing.
No. I think if I had been doing my typical 20 gauge deal, I think I would have wound up at about the same place bird count wise.
When you're on, you're on.
Yeah. Well, when you're on, you're on. And when the conditions allow for it. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I just went out. Oh, God. Last weekend, you know, I went out, had birds hold tight. So go figure.
Huh.
You know what I mean? It's just all over the map this year.
Yeah. They knew it was the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't think the 28 gauge handicapped me.
Good.
So
good.
There you go.
All right.
We are out of here on this Sunday.
Yeah.
That's the end of the show, folks. Do not go anywhere. Coming up next is Tom Gresham's Gun Talk.